Hey, this is Marilyn Gigliotti.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran.
Hey, everybody. My name is Scott Schiaffo, actor best known as the Chuli's gum guy from the film Clerks.
And welcome to Clerks Minute.
You're listening to Clerks Minute.
And I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Mike Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Men, the podcast I sell comics, and the Ming and Mike Show. And you're listening to Clerks Minute.
What's up, everybody? This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. You got a minute? Good, because you're listening to Clerks Minute.
Hey, this is Walt Flanagan, the Lon Chaney of the 90s, and you are listening to Clerks Minute.
Back to Clerks Minute, the show where we look back at the 2006 Kevin Smith sequel, Clerks 2, two massive fight in a jail scene, minutes at a time. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jim O'Kane from the Apollo 13 Minute, the Rocketeer Minute, and way back to the Airport Minute, another fellow podcaster.
Yes, another Movie by Minute podcaster, which is very awesome. Welcome to the show. You've come in at a crazy point in the movie.
Yes. It's the most un-Jersey looking, cleaned up, mall rats-ish jail you've ever seen.
And so true. It's a good point.
It's the curse of too much money being thrown at a Kevin Smith production. So
it's such a good point. We were joking about this a couple. We had actually Kyle's father, my father-in-law, on the show, who was an actual retired cop on a couple episodes ago, and even he was commenting on how ridiculous this jail is. Like, it's so over the top.
It really, Mayberry didn't have as nice a jail as this place was. It's just incredibly spotless. Everything, you know, and everybody gets to keep their own clothes, and everybody, you know, it's even Randall gets to keep his hat, which is just astonishing. So, but you know, it's all in service of the script. It's so that that Kevin can have his dialogue spewed out wherever, and this is just background decoration for the dialogue.
Then again, it's just probably the holding cell. So,
yeah, it's still. I don't think they let you keep all this stuff with you when you're in a holding cell. If you're under arrest, they're gonna take pretty much everything that you can hurt yourself with, and probably get a cavity search just to be sure.
Yeah, especially in this case, in the case where we are now, with all the weird shit that was going on in the previous couple of scenes. But we're fighting. We are in the middle of the infamous Dante Randall argument. That's what we're in the middle of here.
Yes, where all the stakes are laid out. Everything, you know, here's the choices and decisions that that Dante has to make, and Randall is being Mr. Exposition himself, just rolling through the litany of the two women he has to choose from and what he's gonna do.
What I appreciate about Randall in this whole jail sequence, it's to the point where he's being serious. It's one of the only times in this movie he's being straight up serious. There's no joking. There's like, I'm pissed off and I'm going to tell you off and I'm going to do everything I'm feeling that has been rolled up inside of me for years.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, and we've been waiting for this payoff for what, 15 years since I started doing Clerks. I mean, this is quite a wait around to see. I mean, this is unlike Airport 79, it seems to have gotten, you know, better production values and more acting skills. I mean, Randall, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's laughing. He was just laughing at you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Coming from somebody who's seen Airport 79.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. If the channel, well, back in the day, if the knob would break off from the TV and you were stuck watching upper band UHF, you'd say, "Oh, yeah, Airport. I've seen Airport 79." But this is you can also. I mean, not only is as Randall growing up in this, you can really see. Jeff Anderson finally gets to be more of an actor in this. I mean, I think he's probably gone to a couple of more acting classes and stuff, and he just really is emoting. Although, you know, I know you guys have been, you know, comparing Clerks to Clerks too, and I kind of miss the raw nature of it. Jeff seems to be more acting than he did when he was in Clerks. I mean, with Clerks, I believed he was Randall. In this one, I'm feeling more like he's delivering Randall's lines, and it's great to see him grow, but it's just a tragedy that you lose that rawness in it.
One thing I had noticed throughout the movie, and I've been commenting on this for like a lot of episodes, that Jeff Anderson, not only has he been doing more acting, he's been amazing at the facial acting. Like, I'm emoting my feelings without saying we're like Silent Bob treatment in this movie in general, but like Jeff Anderson was never known for that, and he's like stepped up his game in that strength for me. That's a strength, in my opinion, in this movie.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like he's got so much more screen time in this movie than the one where he was just being chased Planet of the Apes style through the cornfield. I mean, this is definitely where, I think he's realizing that he's going to be a major player in this movie as much as he was in Clerks. So I think he brings a little bit more to the table when he's acting. It's nice to see, but I miss younger, less skilled Jeff, because I think it came back as more honest.
I get what you're saying. I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So we get into the scene, and we're jumping back into this, where Randall pretty much tells Dante straight up that him leaving is pretty much going to ruin his life because he didn't realize that he's going to bail on his friendship. And I feel for Randall. I really do feel for Randall in this moment, because he's getting older, and once you're older, you're real older, you don't want to deal with making new friends if you don't have to. We actually talked about it earlier when he was talking to Elias, where he said, once Dante leaves, you're going to be my best friend because I don't have anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, youth is sliding away. I mean, this is a lot like the 79 movie Breaking Away. I think, you know, all those guys are realizing that they have to be grownups. They have, you know, the life has moved on, and other people their age, as many people, you know, in the ages of the actors here, they're growing up, they're having families, and it's like these guys are still stuck working at, you know, retail. It sucks. So that's all they have is each other, because that's all they've known. None of them have ever really grown. And it's frustrating to see, you know, all the entire world moving by around them. And, kind of a shocking thing to get something so deep out of a movie like this, that it, you know, looks like a lighthearted comedy on the surface.
Yeah, there's been an undercurrent of realness throughout this whole movie, where it's like, we're going to have the comedy. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to make fun of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and we're going to do all this stuff. But then we're going to
have a guy fuck a donkey.
Yeah, have a guy fuck a donkey. But then we're going to have these moments where it's like, these are friends dealing with real issues, and we're going to address them head on.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that a bit. I mean, it was missing from Mallrats, but it came back in Chasing Amy. I mean, Chasing Amy had things just as crazy and just as real as this. But I think, you know, here, a higher budget, managing to hire people like Rosario Dawson who can actually emote and give you an idea that what they're saying is real. The whole level has built up, and the older crew of the original cast has had to step up and be part of all that. So it is a great thing to see. But I'm missing the raw energy, and I'm missing the sheer, you know, the 16 millimeter Jersey film schoolness of it all.
A valid point. Absolutely valid. Well, they go back and forth, but then all of a sudden, Jay, and this is my favorite Jay lines ever, and I think I've actually quoted this watching people argue. I've legitimately quoted this line. Jesus, why don't you two just fucking get it over with already?
It's what I wound up saying out loud during Captain America Civil War. Between Captain America and Iron Man. Jeez, why don't you two just fucking get it over with already?
And by the way, you think he's joking? He did say that out loud. I was sitting next to him.
Always granted a premiere. Yeah.
But no, I actually do quote this in real life, like, all the fucking time. I love this line.
kiss him, damn.
I use Silent Bob's line more often than I got nothing.
Yeah, so we'll get to there, because all of a sudden,
okay,
Dante goes and says, can't you ever say anything useful for a change? Damn, Dante's pissed. Dante's just angry now. He's taking out everybody.
Let's see. Something useful? War of the Two Shakes when it's playing with yourself?
Well, that's just common knowledge. So Jay looks at Bob, and this is amazing. What the fuck are you waiting for? That's your cue, man. Like, it's setting him up. Like, this is the moment you're waiting for in this whole movie. And I did a little bit of timing seconds. I was watching this last night getting ready, and I had the timer in front of me, like, 12 seconds. They did 12 seconds to set up for I got nothing.
And even better, says you could see Bob try to get the words out. You could just hear the engine failing to turn over there.
Look at the wind up. It's like nothing.
It's like.
But yeah, there's no hyperdrive.
So Jay flips out, and now Jay and Bob are fighting. This is just weird.
What's your solution for everything, pussy man?
Oh, I was gonna say, but the best part was Jay. What good are you, you mute fuck? Wow.
Whoa.
And Bob is, you know that hurt. You know what that hurts? Like you ever add anything to the fucking proceedings? You got one answer to everything.
Pussy man.
But it's true. I feel like this is just Kevin talking about Jay in real life.
It's like Jay keeps saying all that just to say, oh yeah, I'm not gay. Nope, I'm not gay. Definitely not gay at all. Nope.
Yeah, it is. I think he was typing that when he was thinking about it. Just every time.
And you know what? That's how the Jay is telling Bob get old podcasts are. Like at times. Like, every single story ends with, I had sex with this person in this city. Wait, what? What happened?
I'm shocked that it ended with him having sex with the Bronze Fonz.
Oh, yeah. So let me set that up, because I think it's a joke that nobody will understand if it was the season one of this show. We saw Jay and Silent Bob get old in Milwaukee. And it was it was actually for a screening for Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy cartoon movie. And the story actually, at the end of the show, they do a game called Let Us Fuck. Where Jay picks people out of the audience and they do made up sex positions that Kevin comes up with and the crowd comes up with. Not real. Wow. It's so stupid. And it makes for fantastic audio, by the way. A visual gag. It makes fantastic audio. Yeah. But I've never seen it in person until we saw it this day. Yeah. And one of the positions had to do with the Bronze Fonz.
Jay was obsessed with the Bronze Fonz.
For the entire hour and a half show.
Wow.
It's to the point where I'm shocked that he wasn't caught trying to smuggle out the Bronze Fonz in pieces.
Oh, my God. So, and you know, I would love to say, go find that show on the archives. Unfortunately, the archives are now on, like, some pay service, so you can't just go find that episode anymore.
Aw.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's pretty funny. That still happened. That didn't happen, though. We were there.
Take a guess where he scored the head.
That's who left?
Exactly.
Wow.
This is how the show normally
is. I know you guys have already talked about, I'm sure the Ranger Danger shirt, but that's my my one connection on this show is seeing Commando Cody, who was his helmet was the inspiration for my the movie that I get obsessed with, the Rocketeer.
Oh, good old Commando Cody.
Yeah, Sky Marshal of the Universe. He was
going, fighting the radar men from the moon.
Yeah. It's amazing how that one look that impossible to use. The man is basically a bullet head. But he turned it. That got relived in the 90s with the movie. I take too much apartment. But it's just, it's nice seeing it in this. And of course, the last time I saw Clerks 2 was long before I did my podcast, and coming back to it and seeing, right, that was Commander Cody on the thing, but it's Ranger Danger.
That's funny. Which, that is very funny. Nice tie-in back to your world. There you go.
Yeah.
Totally unintentional. I wasn't even thinking of that because you picked the scene, so I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it was serendipity. I just, just seeing that, I was like, oh, yes. And now I got to get one of those shirts. That's
I guarantee you probably want to be public and find one. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right. We tie back to Randall now completely exploding on Dante. Like, he's got nothing. He's just like, fuck it. I'm putting everything on the table. And wow. I love the fact we have the callback to Anne Frank, by the way, for the beginning of the movie. The joke from like 10 minutes into the movie, we call back here.
You have to be as blind as Anne fucking Frank to see that.
Yeah. I wrote it down. You got a perfectly good chick here in Jersey who he's nuts about, and even Anne fucking Frank can see that she's nuts about him.
Yeah, and I keep wondering if they changed that from like Helen Keller, which would be the more likely, you know, the reference point.
Well, it's from the beginning of the movie where Randall didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love good payoffs because I didn't. When you're first watching the movie, you don't expect the payoff right here.
Yeah, no, there are so many shotguns loaded in the first 30 minutes of this movie that just keep exploding through the rest of the whole film. It's stunning. And I mean, and back through movies previously that, you know, they getting into movie and all that. And it, and y'all, you know, going back to Dogma and stuff, and just the Askewniverse is amazing, and I keep thinking that somewhere, you know, hundreds of years from now, or not even hundreds of years, maybe dozens of years from now, there'll be graduate courses and theses talking about the Askewniverse.
Well, there is one more. I don't know if you heard this yet, but there is one more View Askewniverse movie coming in 2019.
Yeah.
So
I heard. I'm just, you know, it's the song that never ends.
Yeah, you think it's over.
It's
just funny. The documentary on Clerks 2 is fantastic because they openly admit they were done after Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and they even closed the book on the universe. They had an actual storybook closed by Alanis Morissette as Jesus, and they did this whole thing.
Yeah,
and then they come back in this movie. So it never ends. It really doesn't.
Oh yeah, never leave money on the table. That's the way it is.
It's true. And when you have an audience that will pay and go see these movies, take advantage of it. They're obviously not going to go. They're not seeing Yoga Hosers or any of the other movies you're making. So just come back with the Views of the Universe, and it works.
Stunning.
What's funny?
Well, I keep picturing that they're gonna wind up having, you know, Brian O'Halloran in a walker someday, just slowly.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Well, here's the funny part: Kevin actually owns the name Jay and Silent Bob. That's the only thing he owns out of all this. He doesn't own Clerks. He doesn't own any of this. So the fact that he could do another Jay and Silent Bob movie is only because he owns the name.
Wow.
Which is weird when you think about it. He doesn't even own his own movies.
Oh. Well, he's waiting for Disney to come through with that $4 billion, and that'll be the day. Bye.
Oh man, that's funny. That's very funny.
Well, I'm sure he could buy the rights from Harvey.
Oh,
good. Someday.
Oh, did you happen to hear the speaking of Harvey Weinstein? Did you hear the whole thing about In the Heights?
No.
Weinstein? In the Heights was greenlit by the Weinstein Company before all the shit happened, before everything happened. So then the people behind In the Heights, not Lynn, but the other director, one of the other directors said, I'm not working on this movie. I refuse to work for Weinstein. I will not do this movie unless we're out of the contract with Weinstein. They got out of the contract, and now they're working on a different studio, and In the Heights is now coming out in 2020.
Ah.
So crazy things happen, you know? So it all ties back to that. It's really interesting, the stories that come out of the Weinstein thing. It really was. So.
Wow.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Randall explodes on Dante. And what I do love is if you had any sense, you'd stop trying to braid up with the rest of the sheep and live your life the way it makes sense for you. That is such a true, honest statement.
Yeah.
Well, it's a callback to Hamlet. I mean, that's Polonius, and Hamlet is the guy that can't figure out what he wants to do with his life. So that's Dante, and it's just he's ripping off Shakespeare here.
That's crazy. Kevin Smith referencing Shakespeare. That's something I never thought I'd say.
That's why I always hated Hamlet. Aside from being dreadfully boring, Hamlet was a whiner.
Yes. And indecisive, and just, you know, he's the anti-hero, which is much like Dante. Dante really, every movie he's in, he just needs to grow a spine and make a decision, do the right thing instead of the easy thing.
To quote Danny from Last Action Hero, don't talk, just do it.
Very nice. Yes, very nice.
And even better, so you're actually talking about the Laurence Olivier version of Hamlet.
Wow, nice poll, though. Very nice. I haven't heard Last Action Hero reference in a long time. Very nice.
By the way, am I the only one who would actually finance a full-length version of the Hamlet scene?
Oh, in Last Action Hero?
Yeah. No one's going to tell this sweet prince good night.
Wow.
One of the best
to be
things,
or not to be. Not to be.
One of the best things about the toy line is we actually have a figure of Jack as Hamlet.
I knew that, and it made me laugh.
Yeah. And complete with the ability to launch a skull like he's throwing it, like in that one part in the scene.
Yeah. Someone is doing Last Action Hero Minute coming?
I don't know. It's a good movie that I have no idea.
I fucking love that movie. I don't see why people hated it.
I enjoy that movie because it's wacky and silly.
I waited for the Blu-ray so that it would come out. I mean, they only had it in full screen. They never had it in widescreen, but it was hard to find.
I had the movie, had the early release of the movie where it was both widescreen and full frame, but I was glad to get it on Blu-ray for the better picture.
Yeah, it's just stunning. I mean, I love that movie so much.
And as I found out when I worked at H.H. Greg, it's a great demo disc for a surround sound system, especially the entire hotel sequence.
Wow, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I mean, Charles Dance and Anthony, oh my gosh. Yeah, okay, we could turn this on to the Last Action Minute. Last Action Minute would be great. That would be the great name for it.
Yeah. I'd totally love to be on that show. If anyone wants to jump on that, I'm not jumping on that because I think I'm taking a break from Move My Minutes after Clerks. But look at a break.
I actually have the complete set of Last Action Hero figures, including including Jack's car and the Evil Eye Roadster.
Does it have a Robert Prosky? Is there a Robert Prosky action figure?
No, but you get several different flavors of Jack, the Ripper, Benedict, and Danny.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What about his daughter? They never make the female characters.
Well, that would be awesome. But and even better, my favorite is the undercover Jack. Where you have this trench coat that goes over him, which is a two-piece thing. You squeeze his legs. His arms flip up from underneath the coat with handcuffs and his badge. Badge and the coat flies off. You're wearing a bulletproof vest. Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at the spreadsheet. I'm looking at the spreadsheet, and it does not look like anybody's claimed it.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. All right,
Get on that. Put me in as a guest if we get there.
I think we're going to have to wrap this up. Jim, why don't you tell everyone your history with Clerks? We talked about your comparison to the first movie. What's your history with the Viewscreen universe in general?
Well, I am like Kevin Smith. I am a son of the Garden State. I grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Native right here, by the way. Garfield, New Jersey, right here.
There you go. I was actually not too far from my house in New Brunswick, actually on the Menlo Park, New Brunswick line on Route 1. I went to the grand opening of what was known as the Great Eastern, which was a supermarket as well as a department store. It kind of looked in the lines of a super Walmart nowadays. Great Eastern went out of business and became what is now known as the Dirt Mall, which Kevin Smith made famous in his movies. So I've shopped many times at the Dirt Mall before it was the Dirt Mall when it was an actual store. My mom used to go shopping in Red Bank all the time. There was a particular dress shop whose name escapes me, but I may have passed a young Kevin Smith in downtown Red Bank long ago and far away. It's very odd when watching Viewisk Universe and seeing that he lived in New Jersey, as you know, is separated by the 201 and the 609. It's or the pork roll Taylor Ham line, as they call it. And Red Bank is kind of situated right in the middle. So they're kind of the Mason Dixon of of New Jersey, and he covers all of New Jersey in that one town. So it's interesting seeing, you know, discussing Leonardo and Red Bank, Allaire State Park, the Garden State Arts Center, which is now PNC Center, all those things we have in common. So when he starts talking about life in Jersey, I'm drawn into it and thinking, I know what he's talking about. I feel it. I know what, you know, and I know these people, the same, all those people that would walk through the convenience store. All of those things were part of my growing up. So he's, when Kevin Smith talks on the screen, he's talking to me. That's how I feel.
I agree with you.
Even in this scene, when he's in jail, I'm picturing this on Route 22 at the Railway Correctional Facility, probably made famous by the Scared Straight movies back in the 70s and 80s. But I picture, you know, this jail to me is Railway Correctional.
That's the fact that it also got used in Lockup with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it feels, I mean, it's very, all of the, Kevin and I grew up, maybe he's 10 years younger than I am, but we grew up in the same environment. So I feel very much a blood relationship with him.
Yeah. I have to say, actually, I went out to Jersey last summer and I haven't ever gone to the Stash, and I went to the Stash last summer. And if you're a fan of Kevin Smith and have never visited the Stash, it's a fan's dream when you walk in, because everything's in there. It's crazy for how small the Stash actually is. It's amazing how much they could fit on those walls. I was amazed when I walked in. So I just wanted to throw that out. That's in Red Bank. So.
Wow. But it's great. And I feel, I do feel every time I watch one of his movies, it's like a letter from home.
Well, there you go.
So he's my comfort food.
Fair enough.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up. Jim, why don't you get your plugs out and go for it?
Sure. Currently, I'm working on the all important Apollo 13 minute, where we talk about Ron Howard's 1995 film. And we have some really great stars on, actual people who are on Apollo 13. Fred O'Hayes has been on. We should be having Jim Lovell on shortly. And Gene Kranz is going to join us and talk what it was like, you know, really living the stuff that that Tom Hanks showed us on screen. But check us out. Apollo13minute.com, also available on iTunes or Google Play.
Very, very cool. Well, we here are part of the Filling the Void podcast network, and if you like hearing from me, you can hear me on the Make a Sound Show every single Friday. And we're at the holidays, but doesn't mean we're not doing great shows over here, because we have our big year-end spectacular, which are my favorite shows of the year, coming up this week. You also hear me every single week on No Days But Today, me and a guest breaking down Rent one day at a time. Fun show, and having fun with that. You can find us all over the social media at Clerks Minute, everywhere you can find us, and we've also got the Facebook group. And tell us if you want us to talk about more in the Views universe, and in the Clerks universe, I have to say, other than the animated show, which we'll be covering after we're done with the movie. So anything else you want us to cover before we wrap things up, let us know in our Facebook group, the Clerks Convenience Store Listener Society. So come over there and tell us what you want us to talk about after the animated series. All right. That being said, thank you so much for listening to Clerks Minute. Thank you, Jim, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And let's wrap things up. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
I got nothing.
Bye-bye.
Noise, smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? We smoke the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking.